This is a war between the government and the Tamil people.
I'm not a fucking terrorist. You are the terrorist.
People are crying out for justice in this country.
If you've got to be militant to achieve your aims and your aspirations, so be it.
There's a real hypocrisy from the big corporations.
The people from below will push for real change.
This Australia is going to be shocked, and then the public will say, what the hell's going on?
Welcome to the Indie Media Show on RTR FM 92.1. My name is Raymond Granville, joining you until 12 noon. But before we go any further, a huge thank you to Jeff for another excellent edition of On The Record. He'll be back next Monday. But of course, you can catch On The Record every weekday here on RTR FM from 9 in the AM. As I said, though, and as you should know, if you're a regular listener at this time of the week, this time of the morning, this is the Indie Media Show. It's the news and interviews from the open publishing wires of the interwebs. Bit more of a relaxed edition of the show this week. We've just had In The Pines on the weekend. A bunch of us are a little bit tuckered out from that, so we're just going to take it a bit easy for Indie Media, play you a bunch of tunes. But we are going to be catching up with regular contributor to Indie Media, Alex Wisson, as going to be diving deep into an issue that has somewhat gone unreported in the mainstream press, and that is the ongoing months-long political crisis in Iraq. Thousands of Iraqis have taken to the streets of Baghdad days after deadly clashes between rival Shia groups sparked fears of widespread unrest. A lot of stuff has been happening there. There's been a hell of a lot. As I said, there's been ongoing political crisis in the country, and it's really spoiled into the neighbouring countries, and there's questions around Iran's position.
This is a war between the government and the Tamil people.
I'm not a fucking terrorist. You are the terrorist.
People are crying out for justice in this country.
If you've got to be militant to...
This is the Indie Media Show. As you're aware, if you're a regular listener, we're taking a bit more of a relaxed edition this morning. However, we are going to now turn to an unfolding political crisis in Iraq. Hasn't been covered a lot by, I guess, the corporate press or mainstream press, but there's been thousands of people in the streets of Baghdad protesting ongoing, I guess, turmoil and clashes. And to, I guess, fill us in on the unfolding situation, we're now joined by Indie Media's Alex Wisson. Indie Media, Alex, thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Always a pleasure, right? Yep. Hope you're coping okay there in the studio.
It's never quite the same without your presence, but you know, it's you're basically the ghost of Christmas past at this point. But Mr. Wisson, now, so this is an issue, as I just said there. I mean, you know, a little earlier I tried to look up a little bit about this, and there's a few reports, particularly on the protests, but it's not really been heavily covered, of course, in the Western corporate press. What exactly is unfolding in Iraq, and why is it, I guess, potentially such a serious concern?
Well, it's a very complicated picture, but it would be perhaps useful for the listeners in terms of framing recent events in the context of the very large protests that took place some 3 years ago now in late 2019. There were mass demonstrations in Baghdad as well as other major cities of Iraq that, importantly, were non-sectarian in character. So they brought together the Shia and Sunni populations and also various, not necessarily militias, but the support base of militias within the different communities across Iraq. And what united those protesters was opposition to the widespread corruption in the Iraqi government, the grossly inadequate provision of public services, electricity was not reliable and continues to be unreliable for the people of Iraq. A cost of living crisis was already hitting in 2019, and we're all familiar with the effects of inflation and the cost of living crisis that's happening really throughout the world. Now, those protests in 2019 were brutally crushed. Hundreds of people were killed, and indeed activists and journalists and human rights organisers were, in fact, assassinated in large numbers in the months subsequent to those protests, and people were essentially swept off the streets, and the movement was crushed. Fast forwarding to the present day, there has been an intractable crisis in terms of the forming of a government coalition in Baghdad. There were elections last October, So nearly a year with basically political stasis and an inability of any party or coalition of parties to form government. And that was the backdrop to the present crisis, where in June, Muqtada al-Sadr, who many listeners would be familiar with, a spiritual leader, the son of Muhammad al-Sadr, who was a revered martyr assassinated by the Saddam Hussein regime, along with two of his sons. Muqtada was one of the surviving sons, who became a key figure in the Shia uprising against the American occupation, particularly in 2004, launching a movement of resistance from the city of Basra and Najaf in the south. Now, in June, he called on his members of parliament, some 73 members of parliament, to actually withdraw from the legislature, and called on his supporters to basically take to the streets of Baghdad, which they did in great numbers over several months, and stormed the parliament several times. And things became heated when Muqtada al-Sadr, and he's done this on previous occasions, announced he was withdrawing from politics, essentially sort of implicitly declaring that these elections were, you know, more or less illegitimate, the parliament was illegitimate. And what then happened subsequently, and this is where it does start to get quite complicated, is that there were clashes on the streets of Baghdad, some 30 people killed, between what used to be called the Mahdi Army, is now called the Peace Brigades, which is al-Sadr's militia, were fighting not with government forces, or there were some elements of government forces, but fighting largely with other Shia-backed militias, in this case backed by Iran. In other words, it was and this is putting it very crudely, speaking of the mainstream media would cast it as sort of a Shia-on-Shia, sectarian civil war, or the beginnings of a civil war. What's really happening in the background is that you have the political patronage of Iran with these militias and certain politicians, in particular Nouri al-Maliki, a former prime minister, who's the head of the Dawa party, the main Shia party in Iraq, which is backed by Iran, versus the militias supported by Muqtada al-Sadr. Now, one other element of complexity to this is that Muqtada al-Sadr has spent many years in Iran, sponsored by Iranian patronage, but is not necessarily under the thumb of Tehran. He's his own independent operator. But there are more powerful sort of spiritual forces that are opposing him, nominally representing the interests of Iran. What's most concerning about this is that kind of non-sectarian character of the protests of 2019 has sort of melted away, really. And what you're left with is essentially militias, fighting each other on the streets of Baghdad, and that sense of a multi-confessional democratic movement has fallen away. It's worth saying as well that the al-Maliki forces, not only are backed by Iran, but also backed by the United States. So this way, one interesting element, actually, of what's happening there is you effectively have the United States and Iran backing the same political horse in the form of Nouri al-Maliki. He did the bidding of the Americans and the bidding of the Iranians. So that's something you won't see discussed, is that there's a kind of a detente or a concordant of sorts between the Americans and the Iranians in terms of backing what is seen as a stable hand of government, as opposed to Muqtada al-Sadr. And al-Sadr is seen as, and has been for the past 20 years, potentially very dangerous, because he's able to mobilise large numbers of people, outside of government control. And so his forces represent some hope in terms of a different pathway for Iraq that's outside of both Iranian and American control.
You mentioned Iran and the US there. I mean, what potential, broader geopolitical implications are there for this, this unfolding crisis, or what might emerge from this crisis?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think ultimately, I've just mentioned that there's a kind of an unspoken detente or a concordance between the Americans and the Iranians, but I think it's unrealistic to imagine that that's going to last indefinitely. And I mean, one thing the Americans have done really throughout the period of occupation and since the end of the occupation is played off the different communities and the political representatives of different communities. So they, as a kind of a bulwark against the Dawa Party and al-Maliki may turn back to some of the Sunni militias. These are some of the same Sunni militias that were directly sponsored by the Americans. Some of them are actually now not just militias, they're actually incorporated into the Iraqi army and police and special forces. These are some of the militias that left thousands of bodies. They would drill holes in people's heads, shoot them in the back of the heads, dump them in laneways around Baghdad. And they were, in carrying out those mass murders and death squad operations, they were directly sponsored by the CIA in particular, who trained them in these methods of torture and mass murder. So one possibility is a return to that Sunni basis of power, which is actually the old Ba'athist Saddam Hussein basis of power. The point being, there's a kind of a to and fro in terms of which militias, which parties the Americans choose to sponsor. Sometimes Shia militias, sometimes Sunni militias. It's a very much a kind of a fluid picture in that sense. But the point being that there is a kind of a tussle there, a tug of war between Iranian influence and American influence in particular. You also have the Saudis and some of the Gulf states sponsoring some of these Sunni militias as well. And I think that they're kind of the underlying point or the underlying theme here, if you like, is that there are no, I don't think it's a stretch to say that there are no political parties at all in Iraq that actually represent the interests of the Iraqi people. So certainly none that I'm aware of. And that's why I sort of started the discussion with these 2019 protests, because the tragedy of what's happened in Iraq is that there was a brief window in time where it looked like there might be an Arab Spring type multi-confessional democratic movement. And we've gone back to the bad old days. We've now gone back to the bad old days. Now, having said that, does that mean there will be full-scale civil war again? It's very difficult to say. But there's no solution to this political crisis on the horizon. There's no possibility of even a government being formed anytime soon, let alone any kind of, as I say, party or coalition of parties actually entering the parliament that might represent the interests of the people, with ongoing problems in terms of mass unemployment for young people, as I say, a lack of electricity, lack of public services, massive corruption, all those sorts of problems. All those problems are sort of set to remain as Iraq, remains basically a pawn of these different geopolitical interests.
IndyMedia's Alex Wisson there, and I guess we're just finally, Alex, I guess, worthwhile adding that in all of this, it is the Iraqi people that are continuing to suffer, who have endured decades and decades of imperialism and occupation, and now this destabilizing, political crisis that is clearly not solving anything right now. But I guess we can be hopeful that there might be some sort of, secular forces at play in the future. But
Just before we do finish off, Ray, I mean, it's important to kind of emphasise when we talk about those different sectarian interests. And as I say, there are Shia groups sponsored by the Iranians, and there are Shia groups opposed by the Iranians, which I think gives the lie to this notion that somehow all Shias are just blindly following Iran because they're the Shia state, and vice versa for Sunnis. It's the point being that we're talking about networks of political patronage and power. And really the religious element's actually not so important, and not as important certainly as the Western media would make out. This is really about politics and power.
IndyMedia's Alex Wisson there, giving us an in-depth look into the unfolding political crisis in Iraq. Thanks very much, Alex.
My pleasure, right?
The government and the Tamil people.
I'm not a fucking terrorist. You are the terrorist.
People are crying out for justice in this country.
If you've got to be militant to achieve your aims and your aspirations, so be it.
This is the Indie Media Show. I'm going to turn now to some Indie Media news. In Afghanistan, at least 18 people were killed last week and 21 injured in an explosion at a mosque in the western Afghan city of Herat. The blast went off during Friday noon prayers. The dead included the prominent cleric Mujib-ur-Rahman Ansari, who was close to the Taliban. He is the second pro-Taliban cleric to be killed over the past month. In Argentina, Vice President Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner survived an apparent assassination attempt outside her home in Buenos Aires on Thursday evening. Video from the scene shows Kitchener greeting supporters when a man suddenly points a pistol at her face at point-blank range. The weapon apparently misfires, and after several seconds of confusion, the attacker is taken into custody. Police later named the gunman as 35-year-old Brazilian man who's lived in Argentina since 1993 and has a history of carrying weapons. His motive remains unknown. The attack came just days after prosecutors called for a 12-year prison sentence and a ban on public office for Kirchner, who was accused of a scheme to divert public funds during a term as president from 2007 to 2015. Kirchner denies the charges. And in Chile, thousands of people rallied in the capital, Santiago, Thursday evening as campaigns both for and against a new constitution came to a close ahead of the national referendum on Sunday. Voters went to the polls yesterday to decide whether to replace the constitution created under the dictatorship of Pinochet, who came to power in 1973, supported by the United States. Chile's new draft constitution enshrines human rights and social programs, including free universal access to healthcare, higher education, and reproductive rights. And US Senator Bernie Sanders has joined a rally of striking British rail workers in London, saying workers need to stand together to fight against corporate greed and billionaires amassing more wealth. It's the latest in a series of strikes impacting Britain's transport network over the summer, with workers demanding better pay and working conditions in response to high inflation. And the World Health Organization warns catastrophic flooding in Pakistan has left more than 3 million children in need of humanitarian assistance and at increased risk of disease, drowning and malnutrition. The World Health Organization has declared the flooding a Grade 3 emergency, the highest level. New satellite images showed how unprecedented monsoon rains have created a 60-mile-wide inland lake around the overflowing Indus River, leaving a huge swathe of Pakistan underwater. United Nations officials warn the flooding of hospitals and clinics could compound the spread of waterborne diseases like dengue and malaria. And in the United States, residents of Jackson, Mississippi, are spending a fourth day without running water after torrential rains caused the Pearl River to overflow its banks, flooding a water treatment plant. In Southern California, the city of Arnhem has broken its all-time temperature record at 106 degrees, while Burbank hit a record of 112 degrees Fahrenheit on Wednesday. Meanwhile, a brush fire expanded to over 4,000 acres overnight, forcing closure of the 15 freeway north of Los Angeles, L5 freeway, sorry, north of Los Angeles. Governors of Western states are warning of the threat of more catastrophic fires over Labor Day, as a heat dome is expected to bring above normal and even record temperatures to much of the U.S.
This is a war between the government and the Tamil people.
I'm not a fucking terrorist. You are the terrorist.
People are crying out for justice in this country.
If you've got to be militant to achieve your aims and your aspirations, so be it.
There's a real hypocrisy from the big corporations. The people from